Will you spend another summer working on your yard for your spouse, kids, and guests? Or would you rather spend the summer with your spouse, playing with the kids, and relaxing with guests? Hire Blue Duck Lawn Care to get the super healthy lawn you'll love and neighbors will envy. Blue Duck does the fertilizing and weed control. You just mow to get a lush, thick lawn. Best in your neighborhood. If it's got to be green, hire Blue. BlueDuckLawnCare.com. Remember, if it's got to be green, hire Blue. BlueDuckLawnCare.com.
It's a no confidence vote in IU President Pam Whitten, along with the provost and the vice provost. This took place yesterday. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. The no confidence vote on Whitten was 93% of the vote. 93.1 if we're going to do the math, according to the Indiana Daily Student. 948 faculty members attended the meeting. The number of eligible faculty was 3,276. And you had 93% of the people say, yeah, no confidence at all. Now, the Board of Trustees is not there. There's a difference between the faculty and the Board of Trustees. Quinn Buckner, who chairs the board, released a statement. Let me be absolutely clear. President Whitten has my full support and that of every member on the Board of Trustees. I have the privilege of working hand in hand with her, and I regularly witness her deep integrity, compassion, and commitment to IU's future. She is an extraordinary leader who is crucial to Indiana University's success and will be serving as our president for years to come. There is nothing that has shown that Pam Whitten is an extraordinary leader at IU. So, Mr. Buckner, there's a clear and acceptable disagreement there. Why did they engage this vote? There's a series of reasons. One of those includes the ending of the Kinsey Institute and what happened with the General Assembly in allowing that to take place. This has infuriated some. And it was an issue of funding. And the Kinsey Institute wanted IU to be more transparent about how do you could save this thing, how you could do this thing. The General Assembly passing a budget that prohibited the use of state funds for the Kinsey Institute. There was anger about this. Then there was people upset with the suspension of Professor Abdelkader Sina. Now, this has to do with his support of pro-Hamas students. Now, I say pro-Hamas, he would say pro-Palestinian. He would be wrong, and I would have this debate anytime, any place, anywhere. I have learned little bits about Professor Sina. And what the university did is they used a policy that says you improperly reserved a room for the student group that shouldn't have had a room reserved for it. Therefore, you are suspended. There might have been many reasons to suspend Professor Sino. They used what could be described by some as a weak argument. You reserved a room you weren't supposed to reserve. And you did it in a way you weren't supposed to do it. I want to say for the record that I don't think that Professor Sino is an angel. S-I-N-N-O is how you spell the last name. And people send me things all the time, and I have some things that I'm going over right now. But understand that no one thought that Pam Whitten should get a vote of no confidence because of the anti-Semitism she allowed on campus. No, it was the suspension of this professor who supports the pro-Hamas students. That was reason to bring it forward. That's where the faculty is. Or is that not it? If that's not it, why did you allow this to be part of the conversation regarding a no confidence vote? We put that to the side and ask ourselves what's next for IU. if IU doesn't think that it's in a bit of a messy position right now, IU is unserious. IU is in a messy place. And IU doesn't look good. You don't. You look dysfunctional. You look lost. And I would say again to Mr. Buckner, respectfully, I have no reason to be angry with the man. He is supportive and the board is supportive of Pam Whitten. Okay. But let's not state that she is an extraordinary leader. We don't know that. And we have not seen that. If you believe she can be one, okay. But you're going to have to sell that better. The university is talking to you. The university has issues. Sir, I'm not part of the university. I have issues. What's your plan for getting past this? And how are you going to put that plan into motion? I'm happy to discuss it. Five microphones. Heck, I'd do it off air too. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Power is necessary. And without power, you've got yourself a problem. So talk to Generator Supercenter right now. Get yourself a free estimate on a Generac automatic standby generator for your home.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
We don't have to talk about it anymore. We don't have to discuss it anymore. What is it that we don't have to talk about? The fact that we have called it. We were right from the beginning, not because we're smarter, but because we're more honest. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. More honest with ourselves, more honest with others. There will be no rate cuts from the Federal Reserve in 2024. That may be one, that's over. Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, put the nail in the coffin. He stated quite clearly that the expectations on cuts, forget that. Oh, they're going to have three rate cuts in 2024. And then we saw inflation go back up, and we said that's not going to happen. Then we saw it go up again in the month of March. We said this is definitely not going to happen. And the market was still like, rate cuts, arp, arp, like a circus seal. And we said, you're all nuts. The Federal Reserve has been clear, and this is from Jerome Powell, chairman. The firm inflation, so the Wall Street Journal writes it, during the first quarter has called into question whether the Federal Reserve will be able to lower interest rates this year without signs of an unexpected economic slowdown. So let's make sure we understand this in all the ways that it was is meant to be understood. If there are no rate cuts, it's bad news for Joe Biden in a reelect. We're not talking about what we think of Joe Biden as a president. We're not discussing what we think of Joe Biden as a person. Although I don't think much of anybody who says this.
Because he failed to care, not only did people die, but millions of Americans lost their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods. On Trump's watch in the 4 years he was president, we lost nearly 3 million jobs were lost.
This is President Biden speaking in Pennsylvania, sounding feeble. Trump's to blame for COVID? I thought Trump wanted to stop travel to China and you called him a xenophobe. COVID came from Wuhan. China allowed it to be released to the world. China is guilty. They should be held to account. At least financially. But no, you couldn't say that. Lord forbid you said anything like China virus. You couldn't say China was guilty. You couldn't say leaked from a lab. Leaked from a lab. Do I have definitive proof? No, because you're dealing with the communist Chinese and everything they do is a lie. Did it leak from a lab? Of course it did. Would I bet the house on it? Yep. Yep. You bet, and so would you. It cost 3 million jobs. It's because Trump didn't care. It's gross stuff. Gross stuff from a gross man. Gross, petty man. But if we take away that feeling, right? And let's just take a look at base politics. If you are going to have the 30-year fixed, what did Lambert call it? Lance Lambert, who was formerly the Forbes real estate editor, he now has his own shop. He like this is what he does. We're talking about seven. We're already at 7.5. He's an interesting follow. News Lambert, just to on X, just to keep an eye on what's going on with the real estate market. The 10-year treasury right now is coming in at 4.642. It's a little bit down this morning, but just by a tick. Then you take a look at the 30-year fixed. By the way, how do I not have somebody to sponsor all the times I look up mortgage rates? Sponsorship's now available. Get in touch with producer Carl. Good Lord. See that? Producer Carl, I just put you in charge of that. No pressure,
though.
Thank
you.
None. You're fine. The national average is 7% on the 30-year fixed. Lance has it at 7.5. In October of 23, we were at 8.03%. So, first, you're not going to have the cuts. Now you have interest rates for mortgages going up, which makes it even harder to get a house, and we have house prices still going up. Bad stuff if you're an incumbent running for re-election. This isn't about an attack on Biden. This is just a general view of a political scene, regardless of who would be the incumbent. But check out what it is that Jerome Powell said, as quoted by and reported by, I should say, the Wall Street Journal. The first quarter firm inflation, quote, has called into question. This is the quote. This is from the Wall Street Journal reporting. Has called into question whether the Federal Reserve will be able to lower interest rates this year without signs of an unexpected economic slowdown. Unexpected economic slowdown is what? Bad for the incumbent. Everything that is happening right now is bad for Biden because he's the incumbent. Now, Biden policies, Biden philosophies, Biden attitude, Biden himself, like there could be a whole bunch of things that we could discuss around this. But as a matter of just sheer dealing with the politics in an election season, a presidential election season, this is terrible stuff. The only thing that he can point to is that this is happening in April and not in October. The only helpful piece could be that maybe things calm down a little bit and him and his cronies at MSNBC could say, look how great things are now. Ah, look, everything's working. Bidenomics. It's the best. Yeah. I'm assuming he would sing a song with it. So I'm following this as always. And we knew that the cuts weren't coming. We said the words. Because we looked at the data and the data told us a story. And then we listened to the White House tell us how everything is terrific. And we said, that's not real. They told us something that wasn't real. Now you got to ask yourself what you're going to do about that. Now, one of the other big stories going on right now is the push on the speaker. Is the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, going to step away because of pressure from Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey?
What is your response to Republicans who say this move should cost you your job and that if you don't resign, they will try to oust you?
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion when we are simply here trying to do our jobs.
Now, he then followed up with a commentary about a post from Newt Gingrich that invoked this being the toughest time to be speaker since the Civil War. I think that's going to backfire on him, but I will discuss it coming up.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Science is never settled. People want to tell you that all the time, and they'll tell you you can't discuss it. Oh, climate change. Oh, the science is settled. It's not settled. We went from global cooling to global warming to climate change, so you could cover all your bases, see the wordplay. Wordplay is a huge part of what happens in American society and American politics. But the science is not settled. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. This is a site called futurism.com. Here's the headline. Top astronomers gather. Well, once you know the top astronomers are gathering, you know you've got a thing. Top astronomers gather to confront possibility they were very wrong about the universe. They're getting together in London, and they are re-examining some basic assumptions about the universe, including a theory that it is expanding at a constant rate. Maybe it's possible Fauci got it wrong about COVID. Maybe it's possible the CDC didn't have the best advice. Maybe it's possible that you could have said goodbye to your dying wife after 60 years of marriage in the nursing home. Maybe it's possible you didn't have to stand 6 feet away from people. Maybe it's possible kids could have been in school and not been isolated and therefore making them socially awkward. Of course, if you're telling me that school's not important, we can go back to homeschooling and then we can get the kids together for like a play date and that'd be fine. Maybe... just maybe we shouldn't be taking thalidomide. Maybe just no one should laugh about thalidomide. That created horrible results. Dear Lord, what it did to children. The science isn't always right. And that is, you know, part and parcel of being human, that sometimes we will have faith in something and it will turn out to be wrong or not work for us, etc. Nothing is perfect here. But these guys are going back and questioning whether or not they understand the theory of the universe. I should listen to Representative Ocasio-Cortez with her degree in economics, which, by the way, that's what a college degree is worth. That communist has a degree in economics. Oh, no, no, just let it sink right in. Let it just take over your soul. Right there. Boomer has it. No, true fact, true. It's a thing. Let me explain to you what it is that Representative Ocasio-Cortez understands about science.
The big yellow one's a sun.
She's got that much correct. She's going to lecture to us about green. I've got the people who do this every day questioning whether or not they understand what it is they're doing. It's not settled. It's not settled. I would love to be at this conference, though. That would, because you have to assume that along with a lot of fascinating conversation, there's some tremendously good weed. Like, tremendously. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Seems that they've got a sense of humor over there at the Pentagon.
Also, there was a fire at the Army's ammunition plant in Scranton yesterday. At the risk of invoking Billy Joel, do we know who started the fire?
On Niger, Jeff, no change in the U.S. force posture at this time. on the fire, I'd have to refer you to the Army because we didn't start the fire.
I'm sorry. That's just funny. Well done. Well played, Pentagon. Well played. Tony Katz. 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. The Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday about January 6th. The argument that they heard was about how they can one utilize 18 U.S. Code. That would be 1512C2. Right? So there's one and then there's two, C1 and C2. So C1 states whoever corruptly alters, destroys, mutilates, or conceals a record, document, or other object, or attempts to do so with the intent to impair the object's integrity or availability for use in official proceedings, or two, otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding or attempts to do so, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. So the argument is that here you have the federal government utilizing this code against those who were there at the Capitol on January 6th. Look what they did and how they obstructed and impeded an official proceeding. Therefore, we could utilize this code to prosecute these people and throw them in jail. A man by the name of Joseph Fisher is saying, wait a second, that's not what the code is for. And as Jonathan Turley, law professor at George Washington University, points out, that's correct. This code comes about through the passing of something called Sarbanes-Oxley back in 2002. This deals with Enron, if you remember the collapse of Enron, and specifically that Arthur Andersen, the accounting firm at the time, which was a massive firm, no longer exists because of this, they destroyed documents. So this is where the code comes from. So what the Supreme Court is looking at, because it's been back and forth in the lower courts, is can you say that the disruption of the proceedings to confirm the election results was an actual impeding of official proceeding as the code describes it, because the code seems to describe it as the destruction of documents, not as an interruption of an event. This is not to say that people involved in January 6th might not have to deal with jail time, might not have done something wrong. It's really fascinating stuff, which gets us to Neil Gorsuch. Neil Gorsuch gets involved in a conversation with the U.S. Solicitor General, Elizabeth Preloger, I believe is how you pronounce her name. And she is trying to make an argument that both parts of this code is worthwhile. And Gorsuch, I'm going to play some of it for you. Gorsuch asks a question that is in every way epic.
And the basic point is a textual matter, is that there is nothing in the text of C2 itself to disclose what the relevant similarity from C1 ought to be. Instead, we think the relevant similarity is obstruction of an official proceeding, because that's the language Congress chose.
General, if that's the case, what work does authorize do on your theory? Because I think I might, as I'm hearing you, think that whoever corruptly obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding or attempts to do so stands alone. And the otherwise, I'm not hearing what work it does. Can you explain to me what work it does on your view?
Yes. So the work that otherwise does is to set up the relationship between C1 and C2 and make clear that C2 does not cover the conduct that's encompassed by C1. Now, I acknowledge that there
would be... Beyond that, beyond saying, okay, C1 does some things, and the whole rest of the universe of obstructing, impeding, or influencing is conducted by C2. Is that a fair summary of your view?
Yes, but there was a good reason for Congress to do it this way.
Oh,
it traces
to
the statutory history.
If I might, so what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify?
Oh, my God. Never mind the sit-in stuff, because he's asking a solid question. Pulling a fire alarm, direct reference to Congressman Jamal Bowman, who pulled a fire alarm to stop a vote because he's a terrible guy, all communists are. He isn't decent, as we know, because he's a communist. Tony, he's not a communist. You're just saying that. You're being so hyperbolic. All right, you want to go through his history? You want to go through his recent statements? You want to go through his Jew hating? And you want to discuss the fact that he pulled the fire alarm knowingly to stop a vote from taking place because that's who he is? He wasn't confused by the door. And Neil Gorsuch brings it up. If the political left wants its way on this and says that this code indeed states any disruption, the sit-in, you all go to jail. You stop somebody from getting into their office, you go to jail. You pull a fire alarm, you go to jail. Which, by the way, you pull a fire alarm, you're supposed to go to... That was already there. You go to jail. It's an excellent response from Gorsuch. It's fantastic. It seems that, always when the court is done with oral arguments, it's what do you believe the feel of the court is based on the questions that are asked. And there are people who do this professionally. And I do follow SCOTUS blog. If you have not, SCOTUS blog is incredibly well done. And when decisions are coming out, they do a whole live blogging and instant analysis. And it's spectacular. It's SCOTUS porn. It's really, really well done. The court does not seem to lend itself right now to be friendly to the government's argument that this is what the code actually was referring to. We'll find out when the decision comes out in a few months, but it was very interesting stuff yesterday.